Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a Record Room exclusive podcast. I've got two more special guests. Like, honestly, the amount of guests we're getting lately, it's been a privilege to have so many people wanting to do the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And today, it's nothing different. And we've got more underground people this time, more people really pushing that scene, that kind of music in Northampton. It's needed. We need diversity in the scene. But I'm going to start with my first guest. Yeah, on my left, introduce yourself, please.
Hello, my name is Jitema. I'm 20. I'm from Milton Keynes, but like right now, I'm just all over, innit?
Yeah. Hello, I go by Draco. I'm also from Milton Keynes. I'm 19, and I'm an artist.
Cool. Thank you. It's so cool to have like artists and different young people, especially coming from different places. Who recommended you to actually come to Inspiration? Actually, what's the backstory?
What, to come to music?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
to come here?
Yeah. To come here specifically.
Oh, to come here basically. Yeah. I think I was just on Twitter, just saying random stuff. Like I always like making jokes and stuff on there, and then I said something about Northampton. And then Carter, one of my friends, who's friends with Snedcar, he said, oh, you're from Northampton. And he shouted me. And then I got friends with these guys. Then I decided to come one day. And yeah. So I come here.
That's
I invited Draco one time. Like my second time coming here, I brought you.
Yeah. I came with Jutama.
Yeah.
That I didn't even know that. I thought you just knew people.
No, because I didn't know any of these guys before. And because obviously, like, I moved from MK to, like, near Northampton.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anyone in Northampton.
Yeah.
And then it's just this year that I've found these guys. That's it.
Yeah, that's sick. And that's what I like about, like, things like this and spaces like this. It gives people that collaboration and that networking stuff, which is so important. But I don't want to go too much into that.
Yeah.
But let me start with Draco, since I started with Jotema first. Like, what was your inspiration for getting into music? And
honestly, I've been a music head all my life.
Yeah.
My parents are music heads, so naturally I built off that. But I never actually really wanted to become an artist, even when I first started making music. I made my first song, my first complete song, January 2024. I was going through a lot of things. I was going through a breakup as well, so I just thought, let me just release the emotions, and I made a song, and I was making songs for about 6-7 months.
6-7 months.
That was fire. I like that. I didn't clock that, you know.
I took it very quick.
Yeah, I was making songs for about 6-7 months, and then I went studio for the first time with Jutema.
Yeah.
And then I sent that song around to my friends, and they were like, bro, you should take this serious. And then from then, I was just like, yeah, let me actually just lock in.
Yeah, what about you, Jotema?
Me, I've always liked music as well, like since I was probably around 5. Like my first music, like, oh yeah, I really like this person, was Michael Jackson. I think it was when I heard that he passed, right?
Yeah.
I kind of was just more interested. I was just listening to more of his music, watching his music videos. And then like, first song I made, it was some dumb one. It was like John Cena proper. Like I called it John Cena, and it was a cappella. I was like, do 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 into the mic. Yeah. I was John Cena. That was in year seven. And then, like, I made another one in like year 9, and that's my biggest song to this day, like in terms of like how many people saw it and listened to it. I made the song.
What's the name of the song? Sorry.
No, it's not out. You can't find it.
Oh,
you will never find it. But it was like some jokey drill song, like Man's Not Hot, something like that, right? And then I did a music video in school. My teachers found it and made me take it down, and I got excluded for that.
What?
Unfortunately, it was like a fun song and stuff. Like it wasn't because of the content, but it's because the video was in school, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then after that, I kind of slowed down with everything and then just got back into it. But I've always liked music a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. Any other musical inspirations for maybe more of your current sound?
My current sound, obviously it doesn't sound anything like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I think our first really, when I like had a favorite artist, that was Uzi Vert, like from
when
I was 11 to maybe 16, and then I found Yeet, and Yeet was just my favorite up until now, even.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you?
For me, I used to make like dubstep beats where I made like a slideshow of just pictures of myself when I went on holiday, and in the background is the beat that I made. But I don't know, I was always into music, but it was a different type of music that I was into. And then I think I hit year 7 and my cousin, his mom went to Africa, so he came to live with me for a couple months. And he was a bit older, so he put me on like the rap, like the, it was 2016, so he put me on like the Uzi, the Carti, everything that was trending. Yeah, yeah, back
that
then.
Is peak Uzi.
Yeah, 2016. I think I'm glad that I was like that age at 2016 because we saw, that was the best music, in my opinion, that was the best music.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's that time of music is like influenced me so much, even still today, like the way I rap and the way I even like listen to music as well, it's really helped me, like,
but my craft. Like even further than that, it inspired like the swag as well. Mm-hmm. Like me and you, we dress a bit different. It's because of them guys, bro. It's not because of stuff that's happening now, bro. It's because of then, like build up from then.
No, that's a sick time because like I'm older. Like that's when I was more in my 20s, I'm baiting my age out now. But like, you know, that's when I was like younger and stuff. And it's like that time was so influential for experimentation. And I feel like it was slightly more diverse because of course you'd have like your Young Thugs and your Uzis. Yeah. And then you'd have your Migos and your Travis Scott. And well, I think it was just a booming time, especially experimenting for especially the trap genre. And I think that's when it was really at, you know, its peak. But what do you guys think you bring as an artist that's gonna be fresh in Northampton? What really inspired you to be like, okay, the scene is not doing it for me? What would you say is like, what sound do you bring?
I think we're just having fun with it. Like honestly, I don't wanna put on a front for others. I don't wanna be like a clone. I never wanna whenever I make music, I always try and keep it like, I always try to keep my individuality in there. I always try to keep it like something that people can't really replicate unless they're really trying to, you know what I mean? And honestly, I talk about real life things. I talk about relatable things because I want to relate to the people. I want the people to actually feel what I'm saying, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, that's literally it. Because I want to speak my truth, right? And every time I listen to someone else's music who maybe it's someone I know or something and they're saying stuff that, okay, yeah, it sounds all right, but this is not your life.
Yeah.
Right? I don't like that at all. Like me, I've never been in a gang. I'm not talking about gang stuff. I've never like been in certain situations that a lot of people do rap about who haven't, right? Stuff like that. But also like you said, like what do I bring to the Northampton scene? I'm trying to bring this to the world scene, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I like my energy. I think I've got, like, a different sort of energy to other people. Mm-hmm. I think I can, like, just everything is different. Like, my voice, the way I think about it, think about music and, like, the business aspect of it, like, I can just go far with it.
No, I really like you guys' answers, but what would your advice be? Because basically what you're talking about is being authentic and talking about things you experience. What advice would you give to young people to be more authentic, to be, because you guys express yourself through your dressing, the way you talk, the way you rap, the way you live. How can young people be more authentic? Because I feel like there's so much pressure to follow, just dress like that, or like we're monk there, or whatever it is. Like,
no, I think the key thing about being authentic, instead of like just consuming content all day, which a lot of people do, it's more about just like creating stuff. Like, take a look at things. Like, even if you are consuming, just think about why you're consuming that, why you're interested in that. Why, say you're watching a video and you've stuck the whole 1 minute through, which a lot of people are finding hard to do. Think to yourself, why did I stay? Is it the words that Sid said? Is it the visualizers, anything? What is it about this that you're staying for? Think about yourself and what makes you like happy, what makes you tick and stuff like that. Then you just push that through whatever your sound is or whatever your image is, and that's it.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I also feel like staying true to yourself is probably the best thing you could do. There's a lot of things that everyone thinks differently, you know. Yeah. Someone's not going to understand something the way you understand it. And I feel like you also have to, like, you have to be open-minded with things, you know. There's lessons in everything in life, like, there's inspiration everywhere, not just with music. Like, you can watch a movie and they might say something and it might give you an idea. Like, there's, I feel like you really just got, like, look up, open your eyes, you know what I mean? There's, like, things everywhere, maybe even, you know, like, you might help someone cross the road and that might just better their day, you know?
I helped a woman cross the road.
Yeah, literally, bro.
I feel that. That's 100%. And that actually brings me to my next question. It's like, because you guys are creatives, and I pretty much say this in all my podcasts, is like, how do you deal with perfectionism? Because, like, I'm a beat maker too. I make beats, and it's like, what is the level where it's like, this is good enough? Because sometimes you can tweak a song, you can EQ a song. It's like, no, I'm going to redo that take. I didn't like that. I was like, oh no, my ad-libs were weak there. Mm-hmm. What would you say is like, how do you deal with perfectionism pretty much?
Honestly, I feel like I'm a perfectionist. Like, I really want everything to be perfect. I'm never going to put out a song where I feel like I didn't perform well enough. But it's also a thing that I've noticed as well. There's some songs where I might not feel confident about it, but other people, like, appreciate it way more than I appreciate it. So I feel like it's also a thing where you got to listen to the people as well. You got to, obviously, you can follow yourself, follow what you think, but taking in other people's advice is also beneficial. It might not change how you think, but it can add on to how you go about things and how you might make your next song better or something like that. Yeah, I feel like you have to think about everything, not just yourself.
I don't know. I've never really been like a sort of perfectionist person. I've always been more of a just do it loads of times and then hopefully one bangs. Because
I wish I was like you. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Like, I have songs that, like, now I think about it, yeah, they really sound bad. And maybe if I went back, but what can I do? Like, it's helped me go forward. You got to think about it. You're a perfectionist because you're not an expert, if you want to say, or just you're in that field. But when you're playing it for the average person, they don't notice the slight EQ change and stuff like that. No one really cares. Wow. Like, no one actually cares that much. As long as it sounds listenable, you sound clear in the mic, it's not that bad.
Yeah, that's true. I also feel like if you perform with enough confidence and enough self-conviction, like, people can actually feel that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can... Like, me and Duke, we haven't always been in the studio. We used to record on our phones, on a band lab, on earphones at home. You know what I'm saying? It's not the best of quality, but what we're saying and how we're saying it, it's enough. You know what I'm saying? People actually feel that. So I feel like overthinking things as well is detrimental to you. But you just got to find your way about it, honestly. I feel like trying and, you know, just trying is enough, you know. As long as you're trying, you're putting your all in it, and you can say, yeah, I actually gave my all in this, then that's enough.
100%. Because I think just seeing other artists and seeing other young people here, a lot of the issues is that perfectionist thing, and, like, especially releasing songs, because people literally just archiving their stuff, like, they work at a library or they're a historian, just making,
or just making,
yeah,
just
making this, just I, yeah, just no, I, no, yeah, no. It's like, crazy.
Like, what we did, right? I remember, like, the first, like, three, four months, we're making music, we weren't putting anything out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why don't we just put it out and then see if people like it? So we started dropping. This summer, how much did we drop? Like, every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Every two weeks, a new song, like, new
almost
song.
Every week.
Almost every week, literally, so much. But, like, we were dropping literally every week, every 2 weeks, and just kept going, because there's no point waiting. Like, nobody's going to wait for you. Mm. If you decide, oh, yeah, I need to wait, like, a month before, that's 12 songs in a year.
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing if you really think about it. People have done, like, 3 albums in a year. You can do that easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with a lot of creatives, because you're your own worst critic. You're kind of getting in your own way and, like, stopping yourself from actually really expressing the art and the music. And it's like, it doesn't have to be perfect, but people just have to feel it, mm-hmm. like what you guys are saying. So I think that's why I like to ask people this question and other artists, so other people can actually hear that, you know what, I need to actually sometimes, it's not other people who are stopping me, I'm stopping me from mm-hmm. getting to the places that exactly. that I want to be. And this actually leads on to my next question, like, how do you guys deal with mental health, and how does maybe the music help you deal with that?
Well, I mean, I first got into music because of my mental health, yeah. you know. So it's actually a relationship. I hold a lot of emotion to music. There's a lot of emotion in music. Even when I'm listening to the rappers that I like and they're talking about a situation that I can relate to, it's like, it hits different, you know what I mean? And it adds inspiration to me. It's like fuel, you know what I'm saying? It's like someone's talking about how I'm feeling and I can also talk about how I'm feeling so other people can relate to that as well. I feel like that's the most important thing in music. Like you can brag about all the clothes that you got, all the money that you got, but at the end of the day, it's like people are gonna feel what they feel. If you can speak to the people and they feel you, that's the best way that you can actually just reach the audience.
Yeah. I mean, even me personally, I don't think I've gone through like a lot in terms of mental health, but I've had like a lot of people like around me who have, and obviously like just life experiences, like everyone gets sad, everyone gets happy, so it's just like when I'm in that mode, especially that's what's good about like being able to record from home, like mm. when you're actually feeling that at the time, you can just set up record,
yeah,
you know, and yeah, you just have to put your feelings out. Mm. But
I feel like even with myself, at the start, I was so, like, I feel like I was afraid to say how I really feel because I was kind of maybe, like, embarrassed in a way, because I feel like sometimes it's like a standard that you have to keep, or, like, there's some things that you have to talk about to seem, like, quote-unquote cool or whatever, like, to live up to the hype or whatever. But I feel like one thing I've noticed is when I actually get real and I talk about how I really feel, people actually feel that so much more, and people actually appreciate it. And when I see that people appreciate it, it helps me actually create more and feel more comfortable with saying how I really feel about things and talking about, you know, like more inner things that have happened or whatever, however situation, however I'm feeling.
Yeah, because I've seen it. I think especially you've seen it. We've all seen it with artists' mental health and how they deal with things. And it's like, I think it's just with any creative person. Like, they go through situations where, like, their mind is not in the best place. So finding, like, healthy ways to deal with that is super, super important. And, like, this is also a podcast for young people. So them finding a way to also deal with that and to say that it's okay and you also go through these things as well and kind of taking away the stigma. But I'll swiftly move along to our next question, and I'll start with Joe Timmer. How was your first experience performing, first ever? How was that like?
My first performance was like, it was with him in London, right? And it was with one of our friends who's a producer in London, right? Mm. That was fun. I mean, it wasn't our crowd, right? Yeah. So people were just like, it was just like a regular uni class, right? In one of the O2, not the big O2, of course not. Yeah. But what O2 was
O2
it?
Islington.
Islington, mm-hmm. In there. That was all right.
Yeah.
But the first time I really felt it was the first Anti-Vision, right? Snedka brought me out to perform Fiat 500.
Shout out Snedka.
When I went on stage, the first time I said, Fiat 500, and everyone said it, I was like, what? I didn't know. But I was looking at people saying it, I was thinking, I didn't know you knew my stuff. Like, what? Yeah. That's crazy. And that's how I feel, like, people.
Same thing. The first time we performed was at the O2 Islington. It wasn't really our crowd, but it was good to... It was like a good start.
It was a good practice one.
It was a good start, just to see how it is to actually be on stage in front of a group of people that you don't know, and just like all my own things and seeing people actually enjoy my stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually a blessing, bro, because I never thought I would get to this moment. I didn't come into music thinking, I'm going to be the biggest artist ever. It was kind of a thing where I saw how people were reacting, and that actually made me alter my thinking. But the second time I performed was when
when I brought you.
Yeah, brought me out, and we did I think I did like two songs at the same event. Yeah, it was so lit, man.
Yeah.
Seeing all the people like sing your songs, it's a different feeling, bro. Honestly, it's a different feeling, man.
Bro, you know when I'm on stage, like I feel naked, but in like a freeway, I feel like I've got no clothes on, swinging about. I actually feel that way.
I don't know, I stick to the background, bro.
That's how I felt.
And that's good. It's good to feel like liberated and stuff. Like, but that actually leads on to my next question. This is for Draco. What are your aspirations for 2026?
For aspirations for 2026. Honestly, just improving in every quality. Like I really want to, I feel like 2025 was like it's just a start. I dropped my first song in April this year, and since then I've been dropping.
What is it called?
Fit for Fit. It's actually one of my biggest songs.
Hello.
Let me even say something about that song as well. I had a list of songs that I didn't want to drop, that I didn't like, and I picked the worst three songs, and I just randomly picked that song, and it ended up just blowing up,
bro.
Which was so
crazy.
I've
got something to say about that song. We were in Sammy's studio in Milton Keynes. It's our friend's bedroom studio, right? We come in, Draco's like, oh, I've got a song. He sends him the beat, right? I'm like, cool. Like, oh yeah, this beat's funky. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Cool, he gets up, right? He raps the whole thing, one take, first try. I'm like, what? That was crazy. And then he's like, nah, let me do it again. And he does it again, first try. And that was it. Yeah. That's what he released.
Yeah.
Just all one take, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah,
that's legendary.
Did you even have notes on your phone?
Yeah, I had the notes, but I wasn't really looking.
You weren't looking? Nah. Yeah.
Ended up being my biggest song for a long time.
Yeah. What's your biggest now?
Big Joker.
Yeah, it's Big Joker.
I think it's on like 600 streams.
It should be Lodby, bro.
Yeah, that one's crazy, but it's too many, bro. It's too many. But yeah, aspirations for 2026. I want to drop my tape. I'm going to drop my tape at 555 monthly listeners.
Why?
I want to work with bigger artists. I want to do more shows. I want to meet more people. I just want to do what I'm doing now, but better. Yeah. I want to actually experience a lot more things in the music scene, even outside of music as well. Like, I've got a lot of things that I'm trying to run up. I've got a clothing brand on the way. I've got a group clothing brand on the way as well. So,
oh, what is it called?
Raw. Our group's called Raw. Rich of Ruin.
Definitely gonna tap in. Yeah.
So a lot of big things coming. Man. Yeah. A lot of big things coming.
I want to make a lot of money.
Yeah, of course.
If it's not from the music, who cares? I will make a lot. What else do I want to do? Yeah, I want to get like, what I want is like a solid fan base. Not in a fact that it has to be huge, but like in a way that like people choose me as like their top five artists, right? I want that. Other than that, of course, just work with a lot more people. I want to be in London a lot more because London is where stuff's happening.
Mm.
Birmingham's all right. Northampton, almost is all right. Milton Keynes, nothing, right? Nothing.
Well, now, we're going to put a scene on soon.
Yeah. We'll put the city on.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of love in the city.
Yeah,
though.
Honestly, bro.
Bro, we're walking around like people are like, wait, aren't you that?
Bro, I was literally yesterday, I went to go fix my bracelet at this jewelry shop. And one of the guys working there actually knew me.
That's crazy, bro.
Your prices are going up, bro.
Every week, some kid. It's usually a kid. I don't mind though. But he comes like, wait, are you the VR? Oh, tell me. I was like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Seeing having people like going outside, just me doing my normal things, and people going outside and even recognizing me. That's so crazy to me. Like, I never thought it would get like this.
And bro, just
I appreciate everyone, honestly, bro. Yeah. Honestly, I appreciate everyone. I'm never gonna, I'm always going to stay true to myself. I'm always going to try and inspire others. I'm never going to like have such a big ego where I'll forget where I came from or forget the fans, whatever. Like, it's really, like, it's actually love, but honestly, I feel the love from the fans and I appreciate it.
Sick. Yeah, I think this is probably one of my last questions. What advice would you give your younger self now from all the experiences that you've been through musically, whether that's life? What advice would you give your younger self or any young person listening?
My younger self, I wouldn't give myself advice because I wouldn't listen. But if I was to give a young person advice, I'd say make sure, like, not as in like not have a backup plan, but like make sure that music's not just the only thing, because even musicians who have music as their only thing, they don't really get that far. Yeah. If you've got other qualities to you, either business mindset or like you're craving other aspects, just anything else, do something else as well, bro. Don't just do music.
Yeah.
It's a bad way to live.
That's good advice.
My advice to my younger self, I'd probably say trust your gut. I feel like you're really the only person that knows what's going on in your head all of the time, and getting influenced by others in a way where it's scouring your judgment, I feel like that's not the best way to go about things. I feel like you really know what you want.
Yeah.
If you stay true to yourself, things will work out. If you really appreciate, I feel like appreciating things that you take for granted as well is a big thing, because coming from not having a lot to having more, it's kind of like a blind screen. Like, you feel like things are normal and you kind of forget all the little things, like, you know, you've got your own room or you've got water, you've got food, you've got your family with you. I feel like that's really important, and staying grounded and family as well, having a good group around you that actually they uplift you, or they're there when, you know, you're not able to give your all and someone's just there to push you. I feel like that's the best type of people you can have around you, and I feel like having a good people around you is one of the best things if you want to go up in anything that you do.
Yeah.
Yo, Drake, I've got one more thing to add. Yeah. If you could have, yeah, would you have started, like, if you were to go back in time, would you have started music earlier?
Good question.
Like, quick answer.
I don't think so.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't think so.
Like, if you wouldn't.
I don't think so, because I feel like when I started music, I feel like it was the perfect time for me.
Perfect time, say nothing.
Because I actually felt something.
Okay, what about releasing though?
Releasing,
yeah,
I probably couldn't release.
You released earlier, right?
I probably couldn't release. I probably have about 200 droppable songs right now.
200 is a stretch, but you've got.
Trust me, Loki.
Yeah, I've probably got
around 200 droppable songs.
Yeah.
It's even then, I feel like I'm. I feel like sometimes I overthink things, like I was saying before, bro. I overthink things.
But that's leading to my point, right? Mm. I'm saying, look, if you're listening to this, yeah, just start now.
Mm.
Just start now, exactly. Release now, do everything now. Like, people listen. If people think it's bad, it's only what, like, what? How many views did you get your first day of dropping music? Probably like max. 50 yeah, max. 50 like max the first week or month even, people listening to it. Mm-hmm. Nobody heard it. Nobody heard it. Just keep going. If it's good, people will hear it. If it's bad, no one's going to hear it. Exactly. It's fine. Drop it, release it, show it to people, everything. Just start now.
Yeah, facts. I feel like as well, don't be scared to quote unquote ruin your image or...
Yeah.
Let yourself be perceived in a certain way, because there's a lot of things that you might do that is normal to you, but the next person can't even comprehend how to start.
Exactly.
I feel like people are so, like, they're locked into themselves where they think about things too much, and then they just forget that they're actually really good at something. And when you're actually good at what you do, someone out there will appreciate it. Even if it takes weeks, months, years, someone out there will appreciate it. And when people are followers, so when people see that other people are actually rating your thing, it's people are gonna be like, okay, let me see what this is, and then you know, it's like a cycle effect. You know, if what you're doing is real, people are gonna feel it,
bro. Even like in terms of what you're saying about the followers, yeah. Your biggest fans will not be your friends. Yeah, your friends are not your target audience. Your friends from secondary school, from school, they're not your target audience. Yeah, do you have you don't have the same playlist as your friends. Of course, they're not going to listen to your music because you make what you listen to or what you consume.
Yeah.
They consume something completely different. Mm-hmm. Get people who listen to your type of music and ask them for opinions. Don't worry about your friends. They'll catch on later.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll catch on later.
Thanks.
Now that's real advice right there. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. But really now my last question, it's like kind of like an obvious question, but top five, if you had like mixtape album, who are you having on that?
Ooh.
Top five.
Yeah, like, okay.
Wait, can we create each other? Like, it's just going to be friends.
Famous people.
Okay, I'm going to go Lil Wayne.
Ooh.
Tough.
I'm going to go Carti.
Tough.
I'm going to go Young Thug.
Fire.
I'm going to go Rihanna. I really want a song with Rihanna. If I could have a song with anyone in the world.
Never.
I'd have a song with Rihanna.
She's never dropping another song ever, bro.
So the last one is always the tricky one.
I might say... Maybe I'll go like Future.
Okay,
that's tough. Yeah. I feel like those artists, I feel like I get a lot of inspiration from them. So I feel like if we did a song, I feel like it would work really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fresh Boy Swag. Yo, I got Fresh Boy Swag. This is going to sound like a joke, but honestly, yeah, KSI.
Okay. Nah, fair.
Nah, KSI. Fair.
I need an explanation for that one, yeah.
No.
Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. Fiat 500. You know?
All right.
Me and KSI would actually make a banger together. Trust me.
I can see the vision now.
Next person. Now, let me... Yeet. Has to be... Is that three? That's three. I need a singer. Tory Lanez.
That's a good one.
And then the last one... Destroy Lonely. That's it.
That's a good one.
Let's go. Nedco, I'm gonna say my top five. Lil Uzi Vert. Snow Strippers. Destroy Lonely. Bryson Tiller. And Travis Scott.
Oh, that's a good one as well. Yeah, that's a good one.
I would have Travis Scott as well. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't rap, but like, like production wise, 100%.
Production wise, who would you? I think Astro was the best produced album of all time.
Wow, that's yeah.
Rodi was better because, like, I'm 33 years old, right? Mm. And I was listening to all versions of Travis. Yeah, I've listened to Al Farrell when it came out.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You
see,
and days before, the jump before the days before Rodeo and Rodeo is
it's too insane.
I think the jump for Rodeo and Astroworld is bigger. Honestly, I do. Because Astroworld is actually crazy production. Okay. The sounds in it is so wild. Like, I've never heard this before.
Nah, you're right.
Maybe it's the age that I first listened to it and the memory of me first listening to it. But that's the first album I ever loved, right? Like, actually.
You have to think about it as well. Like, Rodeo Times and Days Before Rodeo Times, he was so ahead of his time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Honestly, he was so far ahead of these guys that are active right now.
That's why, like, my favorite Travis Scott song is The Prayer from Days Before Rodeo, because it was just different, bro. Like, at that time, this is like 2013, no one was doing stuff like literally no one. It's like you could see the Kanye influences because he was under Kanye.
Oh my days. I'm putting Kanye in there.
Definitely.
I don't know five producers, bro. No, because I can name them, No, I wouldn't put Kanye. Yeah, like if Kanye gave me a beat, I'd get it. But like if it's just like Kanye's a nobody, I wouldn't use his beats, if that makes sense.
Fair enough.
Like, I go for YouTube beats. I don't like, I really like YouTube beats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a top five producers that you'd have?
Maybe top three.
Yeah.
I'd put, yeah. I'd put Metro. I'd probably put Southside as well.
I wouldn't put, I would pick one or the other because I feel like they're more this, this. They're kind of similar. The same, yeah.
But Metro is like.
I'd probably choose Metro.
Yeah,
over Southside. Because you can kind of do what Southside does. Yeah,
that's true.
In a way.
That is true. Yeah, yeah. So I'm swapping Pierre for Southside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Fine. Pierre is like, he's up there, but I wouldn't put him above anyone. Yeah. I think Pierre and Metro might be like one of the best in the scene.
No, I literally don't.
With me, there's too, I know too many producers and it'll be just like really obscure people. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you know this guy called, gonna put you on some game called Max Martin. Anyone? Oh yeah, no, you won't even. But he's got the most number one hits ever.
Really?
He's worked with everyone, The Weeknd, Britney Spears, Katy Perry, anyone you can think of. I would have him on because I know my stuff would go.
Right.
But like, I want to make a more global sound. Like, I would want to make a thriller in my way. Mm, so okay. It's like, I'd.
That's
100%. Yeah, yes, he was on my list. Yeah, I'll put Mike Dean. I might even put like Pharrell.
Yeah,
Pharrell. Yeah,
Pharrell on there. Bro, there's too many producers, but like I would want to make some thriller legendary type album because I think I'm at the point because like one of my favorite producers is Quincy Jones. So like that's someone I look up to. But yeah, I don't. This podcast is gonna go really long. But is there any closing remarks for anyone? They want any music that they want to promote before this gets too long. Any music?
I got a lot of songs dropping. I'm going on a crazy run to end 2025 off. I'm gonna have a new song every week.
What?
Yeah, I got
I'll do it then.
I got a song that came out Monday. I got songs coming out Sunday, and then every Friday till the end of the year. I got a couple of features as well. I got one song with Gitama next month.
Yeah.
Got a song with Snedka as well. So a lot of things, man. A lot of things. Yeah.
I've got a song dropping tomorrow, WTF. Tomorrow as in the 15th of November, 14th of November. Yeah, go listen to that. I don't like that one that much, but people want it. Yeah, cool. Go listen. But check out all of my songs. Just go on my stuff.
Yeah.
Pick like five different ones. You're going to hear five different sounds. 100 Gex. Now listen to Days Before Wicked, that EP. It's three songs. It's like, 6 minutes long, the three songs. Because Hours Before Wicked is out, hopefully before January. Before the new year.
That's what they're saying.
No. Before the new year, it will be out. Solo produced by Sior and Lauda. And then Wicked will drop February, March-ish. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That song, when I will say as well, you have to listen to all our music. I mean, like all of the guys, we're so diverse. Like, we don't make the same song twice. It's we're very unique with how we make music. It's, you won't hear the sound anywhere else. Honestly, you won't hear it anywhere else. Yeah, everyone is different, man, and everyone's just doing their own thing, which is, I just rate highly, man.
Yeah.
Sick, bro. Thank you for such a fun podcast. Thanks, guys, for joining us. If you don't have any other last words, any last words?
Yeah, thank you for having us, man. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Cool. That was a Record Room exclusive podcast. Thanks, everyone. See you next time. Bye.